Like to ask everyone to please take their seats. Make sure you turn off or silence all cell phones or electronic devices. The chairman, the Children, Families, and Senior Subcommittee will now come to order. Aaron, please call the roll and announce the quorum. And I'd like to ask members to turn your mic on so we can get you on the system when you vote.
Chair Altman.
Here.
Representatives Bartleman.
Here.
Barrero.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Casello.
Present.
Fabricio.
Here.
Fisher.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Hillebrew.
Here.
Koster.
Here.
Roach.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Trabulsi.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
Williams.
Here.
And Woodson.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Aaron, and good afternoon to the members and the public. We'll be hearing four bills today. The first one relates to the topics of our panel discussion last week, so we're finally getting into hearing some of the bills that relate to the workshops that we've had, which is always good news. First item, House Bill 1473, Children and Youth Adults in Out-of-Home Care. Representative Busada Cabrera is here to present. You are recognized to explain House Bill 1473.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you guys did have a fantastic panel discussion last week, and this is a great way to kick off that discussion is with 1473. As you know, when a child can't remain safely at home with a parent, Florida's child welfare system must find a safe out-of-home placement for that child. It's best for a child's development to have as few moves between caregivers as possible and to achieve permanency quickly. In fact, Florida law prioritizes a child reaching permanency within a year of entering care. However, some children are moved around often while in care, sometimes quite traumatically. Some never achieve permanency before reaching age 18 and then age out of care with a permanent family, without a permanent family. HB 1473 supports older foster youth by better preparing them for adulthood and improving permanency so they do not stay in foster care until the age of 18. It requires DCF to assess each child's readiness for transition to adulthood and requires transition planning at an earlier age to allow for more time for preparation. It also requires the Florida Institute for Child Welfare to evaluate the delivery of independent living services and DCF to provide more support to caregivers in delivering those services. It improves permanency for older children by allowing the court to reinstate parental rights under very limited circumstances. The bill seeks to better connect young adults who age out of care with services. The bill also seeks to reduce placement trauma by minimizing placement moves and by requiring thoughtful transitions which consider the child's specific needs when moves do happen. Finally, the bill improves placement stability by specifying priority placements, giving more guidance on how to support sibling connections, and requiring the child's records to include a face sheet containing important information about the case.
Okay, very good. Are there any questions of the sponsor? Okay, I do not. Okay. Representative Williams, yes.
Thank you. The fact sheet that you're speaking of, can you give me information about that?
Go ahead.
So it's a face sheet, and it would give a general synopsis of, you know, the child and the history that they have been through. So it would, you know, give sometimes specifics depending on the child, how many different homes that they've been in and out of, the type of care, treatment that they have been facing, if they've had any mental health counseling, things like that.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Follow up. So will this sheet replace the resource book that follows the child throughout the time that they are in care?
No, it would not.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So it seems that the information that you just spoke of is redundant. So we're going to have the resource book and also the sheet itself?
You have an open colloquy here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not meant to be redundant, but rather, you know, a quick sheet that someone can look at when they first get the case, and it gives a general synopsis. So obviously, if you need more in-depth information, then you would continue to look into the child's book from there. But the purpose of it is so that, you know, as a child is transitioning from different homes or different care or different services, it's an easier way to be quickly briefed on, you know, what issues they're facing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I am.
Okay. Oh, yes. Rep. Valdez?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
So minority leader. A ranking member, Valdez.
Thank you.
Ranking member. I want to make sure I get that right.
On my train of thought. Okay. back to Representative Williams's point. Would there be an opportunity for something extremely important related to that child that may be missing in that sheet that might be embedded in the book that follows the child?
If it's something that is really important or that important that you know from right off the bat about this child, then it should be on that sheet.
What would guarantee that?
Well, to make sure that everyone is doing their job and, you know, following and the standards that are set forth in the bill.
I'm just concerned that something important may, human error, and we're adding another layer of another piece of paper that is part of a record that may be instrumental. So I'm concerned about the actual procedure and how it would be implemented. So it's not so much the idea as far as much as the implementation. And when you think about the complexity of the department, here's another sheet. Another check the box type of thing that I have to do in order to help a child. So I'm concerned a little bit about the bureaucratic processes in an attempt to protect the child, that it may backfire. That's what my concern is. So I guess it'll be behooving of DCF staff to ensure that all of the folks that are involved in the care for this child is at the forefront, and that these procedures are followed. And that's where my biggest concern is, when we're adding another level of another check the box, did I put it in this form? I normally imagine the caseload that each social worker has in order to comply and take care of this child. So I'm concerned about that.
And I definitely understand and appreciate your concerns. And if there's any mechanism that you think would, you know, possibly be a better approach or implementation to make sure that this is going to have the information necessary, I would love to discuss that. And by no means is the face sheet supposed to be all-inclusive. It's like how we have a bill analysis. The bill analysis doesn't contain every, you know, piece of language of a bill. It gives you an analysis. But I would definitely love to discuss it further.
Great. We will. Thank you.
Rep. Soroy?
Would the face sheet contain, in your judgment, perhaps the most critical information that needs to be known about that child situation?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a realistic concern. I appreciate that question. I have one quick question. I assume that was put in there for a reason, though, that information was being lost from caseworker to caseworker, or program to program. Is that why that's in there?
So I can't speak to as if, you know, there was human error and that's why the purpose of it was, because information is getting lost as it's getting handed, but it's to ensure that information isn't getting lost, to ensure that the most critical information, the most important that you must know right off from the outset is being, you know, seen from the beginning.
Okay. Very good questions. Is there any other questions? I don't see any. Okay, we do have two amendments. Representative Posada Cabrera, you are recognized to present amendment barcode 304377.
So this First Amendment removes the requirement for the court to hold a judicial review hearing 90 days after a child's 16th birthday, requires the court to inquire about the child's independent living services at the first judicial review held subsequent to the child's 16th birthday. So this would just eliminate unnecessary judicial hearings because we did move the start from 17 to 16 in the bill.
Okay, do we have any questions on this First Amendment? Is there any public testimony on this amendment? Do we have any speaker cards? We'll check and see. Victoria Zepp with the Florida Coalition for Children.
Hello, and thank you, Chair. Applaud the amendment. And just for clarity, this is actually, it's underlined, but it's actually current law right now that the change, we like that it's moving to an earlier date, but the change has an update in the case plan for any social skills type of addition or updates. Where that actually should go is in the judicial review social study report. Because that's an ongoing thing. We don't want to have to go to court every time you open up a case plan. A case plan is you must do this happen and how as far as the child goes and the family and safety. The judicial social study review is that. So we'll work with the...
So what you're saying is you like the amendment, mm-hmm. but you might need to draft it in a different part of the statute.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. And I've already met with the member. I just wanted to make clarity for all the...
Okay. Amendments. All right. We'll Thank take you. A look at that. Thank you. I believe that's our only speaker. Any other member of the public would like to be heard? Okay. Is there a debate on the amendment? Hear no debate. You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
All right. Without objection, so the amendment adopted. Is there anybody in opposition to the amendment? So without objection, show the amendment adopted. Okay, you're recognized to present amendment barcode 584189.
The second amendment requires DCF's list of age-appropriate activities to address specific topics tailored to the needs of each child's developmental stage and to inform young adults of available independent living services and community resources and how to apply for services. It also requires the Florida Institute for Child Welfare to include input from current and former foster youth in its evaluation of the state's efforts in delivering independent living services. And it also includes a technical change to reflect that the Office of Continuing Care provides supports to individuals who age out of foster care up to the age of 26.
Okay, are there any questions on this amendment? Do I see? Yes, Representative Barlin.
I think that, one, I want to tell you, I think this is a great bill, and I think that this, the continuing care is really important. I just was wondering why you were going 26 instead of 30, reducing the age. That was it.
Sorry, can you clarify why?
Yeah, like what was the thought?
Speak a little closer to.
Oh, sorry. First of all, I love this bill. I think it's amazing. I think this is a great amendment. I just wanted to know, was there a reason why you reduced the age 26 from 30 to 26?
So we didn't reduce the age. It was left off in drafting, and this is just a technical change to clarify and make sure that that's in there.
Oh, I apologize. Sorry. Thank you. I love your bill. Thank you.
Don't apologize. That shows you were on it. You were reading the bill, reading the amendments. I'm very impressed. So good job and good answer. So Representative Williams, you're recognized for question.
Okay, you're stating that that's was a technical.
You want to speak into that mic. I'm sorry. With these masks, you got to really.
You're stating that was a typo that what Representative Balaman was talking about from 26 to 30. Or from 30 to 26?
Yes.
Currently?
We're not changing the age. It was just a technical error, and it got left off in drafting in the original bill.
Okay. So what's the current age as of now? It's 26 as of now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, do we have any other questions? I don't think I see. Is there any public testimony on the Second Amendment? Victoria Zepp, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Couple things again, very supportive of this amendment. I had the opportunity to speak with the representative in advance, but again, wanted to share a couple different things. Very excited about the Office of Continuing Care. We truly believe there needs to be that central kind of office to ensure that we are doing life skills the way it needs to be. Back in 2014, they actually reverted that role and responsibility from community-based care to the caregivers. So the caregivers having to take this on without these kind of like different supports and wraparounds, we really need to re-engage. And I will be very forthright, is that our system of care, we talk about how we lead the country. We don't lead the country in this. And we do need to step up. And our agencies want to step up at that too. So do like the department's words on there. I'm very candid. I think you know that. One of the things in here too is that having it contracted, not done within the agency, but contracted, there are agencies who do this. There are organizations who do this across the state to help all boats rise and have that continuity, I think is really important. There's information in here about the Institute for Child Welfare. What we'd really like to see is we have these great, ideas that can roll out. We are a large and diverse state. So having the Institute come together with some of these subject matter expertise in advance, possibly creating a task force, including former foster youth, et cetera, to then go ahead and look at, we don't even have a plan for independent living. Like, we got a long way to go, and this is a great opportunity, and we're looking forward to helping to modernize this whole process for our youth. So we'll be working with staff. I know we're meeting with them this week, and the representative, so thank you.
Thank you, and Victoria is representing Florida Coalition for Children. So do we have any other input questions from the public? Any additional questions from the members? If not, we'll go to the debate on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? You may close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Okay, all those, is there a debate? We have debate?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that as a person who has worked as an administrator for the county and working in collaboration with DCF regarding foster children, I think this is a great bill in order to facilitate the transition of those children out of foster care. There used to be a time where they used to give them $50, give them a plastic bag, and send them on their own. So this is a great start, and I really support this bill. But we have a long way to go, as someone else just mentioned. Hopefully, we're heading in the right direction, and we'll be able to move forward. Thank you.
Fantastic. So we're on the amendment.
Yes.
And you may close on your amendment. I think you waived close. So any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, without objection, show the amendment is adopted. Okay. We are now in public testimony on the bill, and we do have some speaker cards. So, first card, Barney Bishop, representing Barney Bishop Consulting. Florida Smart Justice Alliance waves in support. Thank you very much. Victoria Zepp, representing Florida Coalition for Children.
Again, Victoria Zepp, FCC. On this bill, it also, as you know, has a Senate Companion 80, and there are a number of different differences between those bills. We've been working very diligently, doing a lot of research, bring back the data around all the different changes that are in here. Some of the changes around multidisciplinary teams and what does that look like and how do we study the efficacy of all that. We will be working right now. We do want to see the bill go forward because we do like what the framework of this bill is, but there are a lot of unintended consequences that could be for our youth in it that we are bringing to light with the members of staff and also the representative's office. So we'll continue to roll up our sleeves, dig deep, and work out the issues. But overall, we're excited about this for our foster youth.
Okay, thank you.
And I was one of those kids who got $50 on aged out of foster care and a one-way bus ticket. So it's a you're right on. Thank you, sir.
But you turned out great. Okay, any other cards? Seeing none. So, is there any debate on the bill? Do we have any debate?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Williams?
Thank you very much. I want to go back to speaking of the fact sheet, the face sheet that we spoke about. Sometimes we come up with these brilliant ideas and not understand the impact that it may have on the program itself that already exists. I think this is just a way of a shortcut to prevent someone from doing additional work. But I would like to see that we start stepping up in the 21st century and start putting this type of information on with the technology that has changed. I would like to see, instead of us putting it on paper, that we start entering into the computer system, so when the child goes from place to place, instead of you handing a fact sheet or a resource book, you enter that child name and all that information would actually come up. That's just my concern. I really like this bill. I think it's a good step forward, but I think we need to have additional work being done. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other debate on this bill? Rep. Coster? Right behind me, yes. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I would just say, with respect to the face sheet, I don't think it's a way to shortcut the work. I think it is an extra set of eyes, and I think that it may in some ways be duplicative, but it is sort of a red flag sheet that would cause somebody to dig deeper into the file. I agree, creating making it electronic would be phenomenal, but I think it still is it could still be called a face sheet or whatever it is you're going to call it, but I think it's important to raise the red flags that need to be raised as the child moves through the system. So.
Okay. Any other debate? Okay, seeing no other debate, Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. This, of course, is a work in progress, so we welcome, you know, all suggestions, critique, ideas. We'd love to hear them and work together to make this the best work product possible. And we have an amazing staff who has done amazing work, and we're not done because each of you know how important this issue is. In December, we had 22,000 kids who were in out-of-home care. That's 22,000 opportunities to give each child a fighting chance at the best life possible. 22,000 opportunities to try and bring them permanency. 22,000 opportunities to make sure they can achieve whatever they would like to achieve in life. So let's make sure that we can give them the best fighting chance. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I remind everyone to please turn the mic on and vote directly into the mic so we can hear you. And so with that said, Erin, will you please call the roll on House Bill 1473?
Representatives Bartleman?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Brannon? Casello?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Altman?
Yes.
17 yeas and 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Erin. Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1473 reported favorably as amended. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to House Bill 1231, Domestic Violence. Representative Mello. Representative Mello, you are recognized to explain House Bill 1231.
Good afternoon.
And thank you, Chair Altman and members of the committee, for your consideration of 1231 today. I'm throwing things now. Just not at you. Yeah. This bill accomplishes two things. It ensures better funding and fiscal management for our domestic violence centers, and it reestablishes a standardized batterers intervention program in our state. Sections 1 and 2 of the bill allow certified domestic violence centers to carry forward up to 8% of their funding from one fiscal year to the next with certain conditions. Members, this is a common sense change. The current annual funding model creates a situation where providers must spend all funds within the fiscal year, thus incentivizing the inappropriate use of funds. With this bill, certified domestic centers, violence centers, would be permitted to carry forward funding, similar to what the legislature already permits child welfare community-based care agencies to do. Additionally, these sections clarify that certified domestic violence centers must obtain funding from local, public, and private sources in the amount of at least 25% of what it receives from the Domestic Violence Trust Fund. As this language stands currently in statute, it does not reflect the legislature's original intent and creates an undue burden on these centers to raise match funds in order to receive state dollars. Finally, these sections bring the stated legislative intent into the 21st century by updating service provision terminology and acknowledging the state's commitment to addressing the needs of survivors and their dependents. The second half of this bill, sections 3 through 5, reestablishes DCF as the agency that certifies and monitors batterers intervention programs statewide. These programs have been recognized since the 1980s as an essential part of the coordinated community response to hold perpetrators of domestic violence accountable, effectuate behavior change, and prevent future domestic violence. In the absence of a statewide credentialing entity, some communities have implemented local oversight of these programs. However, domestic violence advocates, prosecutors, survivors, and BIP providers have raised significant concerns about how the lack of statewide certification and monitoring has dismissed the overall quality of batterers intervention programs in their communities. Reestablishing the department as the agency that certifies and monitors BIP statewide would restore confidence that certifying these programs are an effective component of a community's response to preventing domestic violence. I am happy to report that this bill has unanimous support from the Florida Prosecuting Attorneys Association, and I respectfully ask for your support as well. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mello. There are no amendments to this bill. We are now in public testimony. Any member of the public wishing to be heard? I see. Barney Bishop, I'll let you tell us who you're representing. Barney Bishop, representing Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. Smart Justice, did I say smart? Yes, Smart Justice Alliance. Is Michael Wickersham here? Okay, he's a proponent of the bill. I think that is it. Okay. So next, let's go to questions from the board. Does any members have questions of the sponsor? Representative Williams?
If I'm understanding correctly, this will allow DCF to actually take on the program itself under their umbrella. And if that's the case, do we have anything in the bill itself stating that we would have someone to do an oversight in or an independent audit on the funding that's actually being to going toward the program itself? And I asked that question because I served on the audit committee last year, and we had a very large amount of funding that went to this program, there were no audits done. There were no oversight on the money itself. So I want to make sure we can put something in place to, so that would not happen again.
Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And that's a great question, Representative. I know several of you mentioned that to me as a concern. And I did speak to the department, and that is a great question. They are addressing that and working to get that implemented so that we do have metrics that we can look at in an annual report.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Rep. Woodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Mello, thank you for answering all my questions. I had a few questions for you, and you were able to answer all of them. It's a great bill because we know one out of four women and one out of seven men get battered on a yearly basis. However, the question that I had that I needed some clarification on, if you would provide a mechanism for victims and as well as the stakeholders to have a process in place where they can provide suggestions. Since DCF, we know sometimes we don't want DCF to be in the news. We want to make sure we are accountable and people have a way, a mechanism to provide suggestions, ideas, or recommendations. Would that be something that you talk to DCF about and be amenable to implement?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Rep. I did speak to them this morning about your concerns as well. And again, there was a bill last year that passed in 2020. I believe it was House Bill 1326. And they are working to make sure that that component is in a consolidated report because I did express your concerns and asked how I could address them.
To the chair.
You done?
No, one more.
One more.
Thank you, sir.
As many more as you'd like. There's no limit.
And also, as well, can DCF present to the legislature on a yearly basis on the progress that they are making once they take over?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Representative, that would be included.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Are there any more questions? You know, I want to say something at this point because this is the second bill we've had where we've had some issues come up, and we talked about resolving them as they go along the way. And, you know, typically this being the primary policy committee, I'd like to see, and as we go forward, these type of issues to try to be resolved at this level because these are the committee members that have have requested and the resolve to fix them. But we're in unusual times. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and as you know, we're getting started pretty late. Hopefully, we'll be meeting late into the session too. It's unusual times, and we probably will have to kind of deviate a little bit from that rule a little bit because we're going to be pushing a lot of things. So, I think these are excellent points, and I appreciate the sponsors of these bills willing to work together as well as members of the public. So, we may have to be doing a little more of that than we normally would. Okay, so no other questions. Is there debate on the bill? Seeing no debate. Do we have a debate? Go ahead.
Actually, I just want to note that your bill is really addressing a part that has been left out for a long time, the perpetrators. They are the ones committing the crimes, however, they have never been addressed. So I thank you for that. I think it's a great bill. You're working on the questions that we have. So I will support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. We all know after last year, this is a very important piece of legislation. And Representative Mello, we appreciate you picking it up, carrying the flag. And you're recognized for a close.
Thank you, Chair. And I would just, in closing, like to say that the legislature finds that the incidence of domestic violence in our state is disturbingly high. And that despite the efforts of many to curb this violence, one person dies at the hands of a spouse, ex-spouse, or cohabitant approximately every 3 days. Further, UCF researchers have found that the U.S. has experienced a spike of more than 8% in domestic violence cases during the COVID pandemic. And I respectfully ask for your support to pass this common sense legislation in hopes that we can curtail the scourge of domestic violence in the state of Florida. And with that, I close, Chair.
Thank you very much. Remind all members to turn on the mic, vote into the mic. You'll probably get tired of me saying, hear me say that by the end of the session. But Aaron, you're recognized to call the roll on House Bill 1231.
Representatives Bartleman?
Yes.
Borrero?
Yes.
Brannon? Casello?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Tribulsi?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Altman?
Yes.
17 yeas and 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1231 reported favorably. Favorably. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, now we turn to House Bill 1089, Child Support Obligations, Representative Andrade. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 1089 is the result of a long-awaited review by the Department of Revenue related to improving customer services, specifically related to child support payments and processing in the state. It doesn't change the standards of child support obligations in Florida. It simply is designed to improve the customer service and efficiency of collecting those child support payments in the future. And that is the bill, Chair.
Okay. Are there any questions of the sponsor? Seeing none. Oh, yes, Representative Valdez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Rep. Andrade, I apologize for not asking this question earlier. Does this help to fix the collections retroactively as far as penalties is concerned? For I can only imagine in a scenario where an individual files for child support, it's not enforced for whatever reason because there's no order, and then let's say an order comes in, and does it go back to the application of the very first day of the order? And then on top of that, sometimes individuals, when they call the DOR to find out what their backlog is, they really don't know what that number is. So I wonder, does your bill address kind of sort of those challenges as well?
Thank you, Chair. If your question is, does this change any kind of penalties for non-payment? No. But what it does do is increase the efficiency and the ability of DOR to have the information necessary to make the child support payments that are already required. For instance, right now, because of COVID, a lot of these offices are shut down, and DOR has had to communicate with child support recipients, people that are working in the child support space, digitally. A lot of times right now in Florida statute, because this hasn't been updated in so long, that's required to be done by some kind of registered or certified mail. We have email. And so long as the participants in the process are okay with unencrypted email for a lot of this efficiency, and they consent to it, establishing a process for DOR to actually communicate in the future with them without sensitive information being included in unencrypted email is something that would be a good idea, and that's part of the bill.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right, seeing none. There is one amendment. Representative Andrade, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 879161.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment is generally based on a review from DOR, more specifically looking at the effects of the underlying bill. Two of the main components are making sure that we don't over-specify the types of orders and the types of payment processes. For instance, not all child support payments are done monthly. They can be done bi-weekly or bi-monthly. So taking out the term monthly in the bill to actually accommodate the real-world payment processes is one aspect. Another aspect is related to, making sure that if we do go down this route of having businesses report independent contractors as far as income goes to help actually improve the process of child support payments in Florida. We consider what that would mean nationwide. There's a nationwide database for this reporting, and if an employer does use independent contractors here in Florida, they don't have to go and submit to Florida's database for independent contractors. They can submit to the national database, and we'll have that information at the ready as we go forward as well.
Okay. Boy, sometimes the most simple things are the most important, aren't they? What a logical fix there. Any questions on the amendment? Okay. Any public comments on the amendment? Seeing none. Any debate on the amendment? No debate. Rep. Andrade, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close, Chair.
Okay. Seeing no debate. Any objection to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're now in the public testimony phase of the bill. Any public testimony? I see Bonnie Bishop. Florida Justice waves in support. Okay, and that's it. Fantastic. All right, any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Andrade, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I just hope you can support this good bill.
Fantastic. Aaron, please call the roll. We'll find out who's supporting House Bill 1089.
Representatives Bartleman?
I'm supporting it.
Borrero?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Altman?
Yes.
18 yeas and 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Aaron. Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 1089 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative, for that very good bill. And I think that concludes our bills for the day. No? Do we have? We are having a meeting next week. Oh, wait, we do. We have House Bill 117.
Yes.
Resource information for individuals with disabilities. Representative Tant, you're now recognized to explain your first bill.
Yes, thank you so much.
Her first bill, yes.
First bill in front of your committee. Thank you. This is a bill that requires the Agency for Persons with Disabilities to create essentially a roadmap for people with disabilities as well as their families, so that whether they're eligible for Med waiver services or on the wait list for eligibility, just listing the resources that they should explore so that they can achieve the best outcomes for their lives. This kind of listing includes vocational rehab, which provides job training services, information regarding the ABLE United program, which is a financial planning tool for families with disabilities, Social Security disability information for school-aged children, information about school district instruction and job training programs that occur with transition programs, career and technical and collegiate instructions through the Florida Center for Students with Unique Abilities, and decision-making options for people with disabilities through guardianships as provided by statute in 744. It also requires the APD to provide them links, hyperlinks, to families and to individuals, and also a disclosure that just upon provision of this information does not guarantee eligibility. So there is a bill or a redraft of the amendment that streamlines the bill and also removes the fiscal impact.
Okay. Are there any questions of the bill as before we get into the strike all, as it is seeing that? I have one. You mentioned roadmap. Would you include my Google Maps and MapQuest?
Only if my kid could actually follow it.
Okay.
Or even me, for that matter.
Okay, let's move to the strike all amendment.
Okay.
You're recognized to explain barcode 414823.
It essentially is the same thing I just described. I just described the strike all, and it is a technical and a streamlining bill. Just tightens the language and just makes it easier and clearer to follow for people who need the instruction for this.
Okay. Is there any questions of the sponsor on strike all? I see no questions. Representative Dant, you're recognized to close.
I just want to thank you and your amazing staff in working with this bill. There is a critical need facing us. I am the mother of a child with disabilities, and what this bill will help do is help our families know what they need to pursue so that their children can have more successful lives. I think housing experts believe that
If I may.
Yeah.
We are on the amendment.
Yes.
So save your...
All right, I'll save the closing. So yeah, sorry. Yes, please vote for the amendment.
Already, I can tell.
Yeah. I was rolling.
Let's vote on them. Any opposition to the amendment? Seeing no opposition, show the amendment barcode 414823 passed unanimously. So now have the bill in the proper pasture. We're on the bill. Okay. So we do have some public testimony in the bill. So we'll hear that. And so, Shayla Macias waves in support. Very good. Okay, we have Nancy Lothar. Florida PTA waves in support. David Souter. I don't think he's here, okay. Victoria Zepp with the Florida Coalition for Children. Waves in support. Okay, we are now back to the bill. Any debate on the bill? Yes, Representative Soroy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Representative Tan, I just want to thank you for coming and talking with me about it. I know it's an issue that is important to you. Frankly, I'm surprised this isn't something that was done a long time ago. So really, appreciate this good legislation.
Thank you.
Representative Woodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Web Tent, thank you so much for your hard work on this bill. We know that people with disabilities or children with special needs, the system is very fragmented when it comes to accessing services. So this one was long overdue. So we commend you on this bill and we appreciate your work on it. Thank you.
Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been in communication with the sponsor to ask that all written information be developed under this section must be sent to all existing clients and also updated to the website itself. And this is something we have been discussing back and forth. So at this point, I don't know exactly when I should have stated that, but... we're working with staff to make sure that this is...
And that's a friendly and very welcome amendment.
I know we've talked about that.
Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Because currently, a lot of time we put information on websites and it's 2 and 3 years old.
Yeah.
And the clients that actually need it, really need the help, they can't get it because they don't know it exists. So in order for the clients that we're trying to serve to get that current information, I'm asking that this amendment be accepted.
Representative Bartleman.
Hi, Representative Tant. You know, I support this wholeheartedly. I just thought of something that was said and maybe for discussion in the future. A lot of families don't have access to the internet, but every child is required a transition IEP meeting, and this may be something that can be passed out in conjunction with DOE. So at that transition IEP meeting, they have all of these services, and the school district can do it. So I
have a bill that does exactly that.
Because if you could figure out how to add it to this one, it would really enhance. I just thought of it. Sorry when
you
said that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other debate? Okay. You're recognized to close on your bill, Representative Tant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank all of you for this. I am the parent of a child who's 22 years old, and we have found all of these resources by happenstance and with a good teacher here or there. and I just don't want another family walking around in the dark like I have. So I just ask for your favorable support.
Okay, Aaron, will you please call roll on House Bill 1089 and announce the vote? Okay, I made a mistake. It's House Bill 117.
You keep trying.
Yeah, that would have been the ultimate prank.
Representatives Bartleman?
Yes.
Guerrero?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Altman?
Yes.
18 yeas and zero nays, Mr. Chairman.
Members, by your vote, we will show House Bill 117 reported favorably as amended. Thank you. This was a very, very good bill, and we appreciate your hard work. So, as a matter of fact, we've done good work today. We've passed four really important bills. Our work is underway, and we have a lot more to go. We're going to have a busy agenda next week. So I'd like to thank the members, and with that, Representative Valdez moves. We rise, and without objection, show the motion of Representative Valdez approved, and the meeting is adjourned.